Good morning, gentlemen. Oh, it's a great day in the Rocky Mile High City. It's good to have you here under these great skies. See you here so enthusiastic so early on a Saturday morning. How often were the Saturday mornings that I, over my 37 years of living here in Denver, have driven down East Colfax or West Colfax and looked over here at this stadium after it was completed and thought so many times how great it would be just to have a service for Jesus in this stadium. And so here we are. We're here to praise the Lord and to give Him glory. We're challenged first out of the box this morning to listen to God's heart for us, to understand what God wants us to do when He talks about first things first. When He talks about beginning at the core, when He talks about that greatest investment, that's fondest possession that belongs to us. I just want to pray just a moment, and I'll open my Bible and ask you to get yours to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, and then we'll jump back to verse 28 and then to verse 23. Father, I am so grateful that You are so loving, You're so kind, You're so caring about us. Oh God, You know us. You've made us in Your own image, in Your own likeness. You know our hearts. Oh God, so many of us have begun so good. We've begun with nothing but what You want in our hearts. And the rigors of life, the vicissitudes of life have got hold upon us. Many times we have set aside that which is most dear to us and to Your heart, the lady You've given to us to be a helpmeet to us. But God, I pray today that You speak to us. Take our hearts and open it up and pour into us what You want us to have. Send us away from here a new way. We'll praise and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for letting me come to you this morning. Thank You for allowing me to talk with you about this very vital subject. And yet I want to admit to you from the beginning, I don't come as a man who is a 10 or a 10 and a half or 11, and certainly not a 12 in my marriage. I come to you as a man that has learned much over these 38, soon will be 39 years of marriage. June the 10th, my young bride will have been with me 39 years. She could probably tell you more about this stuff than I can. But I'm challenged because she is the mother of my eight children, our eight children. That's right, guys, just eight. That's the best we could do. Seven grandchildren. Any day now, the eighth one will be born. One of the highlights of this day already has been that early this morning, my eldest son called me and said, "Dad, Hal, I just want to pray for you and encourage you. You can really get it done." Now, boy, if I don't get it done, I feel like I can because he told me I could. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Allow me to go to verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is savior of the body. Verse 28 then, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. If I were to ask you today, what is your greatest investment? You probably would think long and hard about the stocks and bonds you have. You'd probably think about your real estate property. Some would undoubtedly think of their children. You would think of your savings account. But amazingly, a few days ago, while lying yet in the bed early in the morning, I reached over and took Lee, my wife, in my hand, in my arms, laid my hand on her head and began to pray with her. And as we prayed and I held her there, the Lord spoke to my heart while I was praying and said to me, this is your greatest investment. That, of course, got a hold of my spirit. And I wondered, Lord, now, just a moment. Somehow, God, I seem to believe that the whole matter of my soul is my greatest investment, that perhaps she's second to that. But then he took my heart and mind to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What a marvelous understanding then that came to my heart. There is no way that I can access and maintain eternal life except I take care of the greatest investment that God has given to me, my wife. You remember in the writings of Proverbs chapter 18, speaks to us that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and gaineth favor of the Lord. And so the Lord has endowed us in the beginning with these girls we call wives. He has given to us an initial investment, an initial endowment. And into her life then, he has challenged us to continue to invest, continue to plant seeds that will grow, blessings that will spill over, compounded interest that will pay dividends again and again. Oftentimes I say to my wife, when I compare ourselves with some of our friends, you know, we have that sin in our life. We do that sometimes. Really, perhaps that's that fellow next to you that does that. But when I do that, I say our greatest investments are our children. And certainly, those 8 young men and young women, 5 men and 5 women have blessed our lives in a tremendous way. But the more I think about what God has put in my hand, I think with Him, He's right. It's the greatest investment that I have, is my wife. I thought again of the scripture that speaks to us clearly that this is really the only thing the Bible speaks of that God has made us the head of. You never see anywhere where He talks about your CEO of your business, or the leader of your corporation, or you're the head of the community group. No, one place He talks about your headship, and that headship is with your wife. So we're already in tremendous company and difficulty when we read this passage, aren't we? For listen to him again. He says, husband, love your wives. So he has clearly said you are married. You are committed. You're in union. You are partnering with another. You're not your own. You belong to one another. That was not difficult enough. Then the Lord speaks to us and says to us, I'm going to compare you to somebody now, so hold on. I'm going to compare you to Christ. Husbands, love your wives. Remember you're married. Remember you're unified. You're united. Remember you're committed. Remember you belong, but that's in relationship as unto the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. Wow. How was that then, Lord? Well, He gave Himself for it. He gave Himself for it. And so He comes immediately to us. Love your wives. Give yourself for them. That's what this subject is all about today. Going all out in love for your wives. Going all out in love for your wives. The joy of that investment, the challenge of the wonderful life of marriage is ours, and certainly today when marriage is under attack all over the world. Yet we are called, the husband is called the head of the family, the head of the wife. God created it like that. God created it. Made Adam to be the head, and headship then means that in the working out of the marriage, the husband has been given the authority in every area. First, this may seem to be a wonderful position for man, but with it comes tremendous responsibilities. And I know there are those of you that will ponder what I'm saying here this morning, that in this new age, this new time, that really it's a shared authority, and it is. But there has to be a desk somewhere where the buck stops. Has to be a desk somewhere where someone takes responsibility, assumes authority. That has been given to the husband. Certainly, it in no way means heavy-handedness. It does not mean that you lord over your wife. There are those I know that rule with a heavy hand as a tyrant. And I'm not at all like Jesus. Look at Jesus. He rules His bride, the church, But he does it with a gentleness. A gentleness and a loving purpose. He listens to her and draws her close to him. Has not he listened to you already this morning? Has not he already concerned himself about your needs, your concerns, your pains, your hurts? Yes, Jesus wants the best for us. So the husband must want the best for his wife. For you see, if the husband relinquishes his position as the head of the home, then someone has to take over. That rulership is, or headship is, relinquished many times because we are frightful of the responsibilities. Dr. Rod Cooper writes a wonderful book in it, and he talks about the double bind. He talks about how men are called to be at once gentle and kind and tender and caring, and at the other hand, aggressive and forthright and authoritative. Yes, it's a double bind. But I report to you today and testify with you that God has never given a responsibility that he has not correspondingly given the ability to carry it out. Husbands must take their positions, or confusion will reign and many blessings will be cut off from the family. If the husband is the head of the family, as Jesus is head of the church, then he doesn't make decisions without consulting his wife. Find out her thoughts, to be in oneness with her. For he is not like Christ, all-knowing. He doesn't always know the best way to go, so he needs to listen to his helpmeet, to his wife. Before he makes up his mind and set the course, in love and in wisdom he should listen. And if he does this, he'll find not only will he be happy, you not only will be happy, but your wife will be satisfied. She'll be satisfied that you considered her before the decision was made. Husbands, we are called then to bring love into the home. We are called upon to bring that agape love. We're called upon to sit under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe the scriptures. The head of every man is Christ. How can you lead a woman as a husband of her and you don't have the headship of Christ over you? It's impossible. But when Jesus is the head of your life, he makes it possible that you can practice headship in your own family. A husband's duty is to love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church so much that he gave and he gave and he gave until he finally gave himself, his very life. This is what we're asked to do, men. We're asked to continually give of ourselves. Continually give our energy, time, sacrifice, even to the death, if necessary, for your wife's well-being. There again, Ephesians talked to us in 5:28. A husband is to love his wife as his own body. This whole matter of investing, as the Lord spoke with me about it, said, you know, you care for your investments. You take care of them. You really do check the stock markets. You see what's available out there. That is, those of you that's got stock and bond. I'm still trying to get some, okay? But I read about it. I read about it. I read about it in the book. I asked somebody about it, okay? And so they told me there was some 20% return, and then they told me that if you really watch it, you and move your money right and take care of your money right, you can even get a 25 or 30% return on it. What greater return, what greater return in your time, your energy, your sacrifice that investing into the mind of your wife. Investing into the area of her thinking, her whole thought process. Taking time to understand what is her mind, what is her area of decision making. How can I assist her? How can I listen to her? How can I become a sounding board for the deepest thoughts of her mind? If in fact I am to invest here, I must be sure that I'm listening to her, that I'm taking time to spend with her. It's really amazing. Just yesterday morning, as I was on the way to the hotel and to ready for the conference, I was very busy and trying to prepare all things. And I said to Lee, "Are you about ready?" And she said, "Well, I'm not quite there. And I'll talk to you somewhere around later on about waiting for your wife. We must learn to wait for her." Touch your neighbor and say, "Wait on that girl." Yeah. And so, I was so busy that I didn't feel like I could wait. And so I said to her, "Let Terrence bring you, and I'll meet you there." And so I took on off with my guest from South Africa that was riding with me. And down the street, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, don't you? Down the street as I was riding, I heard him say, "Well, brother pastor, tomorrow you shall speak to the men about caring and going all out in love for their wives. You just left your wife at home because she couldn't wait." I turned and drove through the McDonald's and stopped and called my wife and said, "Baby, I'm sorry. I'll wait for you." She said, "That makes me feel good. I'll be right there." Struggle. It's an ongoing battle. It's a lifetime process, but we've got to learn to go all out for our wives. We've got to learn that we've got to cherish those girls. We must be sensitive to her needs and to her hurts. We must invest in the mind, but we must not only invest in the mind, we must take some time and invest in her body. Invest in her body. It's no use of looking at the other girls and seeing how good they looked, all shaped up and just right in every place. You got an investment at home, brother. Invest in your own wife. Take some time and spend with her. Take her to the spa. Exercise with her. Eat right with her. Buy the right things for her. Dress her up to look like a queen. And then stand back and whistle at her. Say, "Hey, hey, girl, you got it going on." So out of line with that, you know, because I've got a fellow that I read about the other day, and his name was Abraham, and Abraham had a girl named Sarah, and Abraham must have been a terrific investor in his wife, because when he, late in the years of life, they were on their way to where the kings and the noblemen were, a new country, and Abraham stood back and looked at Sarah and said, "Girl, we're in trouble. Say, the way you're looking, how good you look, I'm in trouble. The boy's going to try to get you. I tell you what, you better say you're my sister." But if that were not enough, Abraham must have so invested in Sarah's mind and body that she loved him so much, she trusted him as her leader, as her protector, as her provider. She believed that he heard from God and transmitted the message to her. The Bible said when she heard, among her many duties she was busy about, heard that she would have a child, she laughed within herself and said, "Shall I have pleasure in my old age?" Then she hit it a little deeper. She said, "Especially when my Lord himself is old." She had been so cared for. She had been so blessed. She had been so invested in both mind and body and soul by Abraham that she could indeed call him Lord. Amen. How wonderful it will be if we will just begin to get under and serve our wives. Invest in their mind. Invest in their bodies. But invest in their souls. Listen to them as we read the word together. As we take time to study the nuggets of life together. Listen to them as we pray together. And you know, something marvelous about these girls, and maybe it's because we do undertake as we ought and relieve some of the pressures from them. And in relieving that pressure, they can devote themselves to our attention and to the attention of the children. And thereby, the depth that they can bring when we begin to study scripture together, when we begin to talk about the cares of life together. Just the other week in Memphis, my wife Lee upstaged me. She didn't mean to, but she just did it. We were there speaking. I had spoken that noon to the luncheon. Then that evening, the women had gathered with us, and they asked, "Bishop, why don't we ask Mother Porter to speak?" They like to call her Mother Porter. And so I said, "All right, fine, if she'll do it." And I was a little wondering if she would do that on the spur of the moment. But then I saw this elegant, stately, picturesque, beautiful, cocoa brown girl come walking up to the podium. And she began to speak. And as she spoke of the goodness of God and what a wife means to her husband, and as she laid out how her mother shares with her children, the gentleman next to me, a PhD at Memphis State University, dropped his head. And then, close to the end of her talk, he said to me, "Bishop, I want to get up and say something. Can I?" I said, "Well, I'm not in charge, but I guess it's all right." He got up and he went to the microphone and he said, "I know you don't know what to think of me getting up here." I said, "But listening to Mother Porter, she stirred my heart." I said, "Several of you have tried to minister to me and bring me to Christ. I said, but just now, this night, my heart has been stirred that I've not been the father that I need to be for my children. I've not been there for them when they needed me. I've not been there when the wife went through. I've been busy getting my degrees and serving in university, but tonight I'm changed and I want you to pray for me." What job, what responsibility is ours? Going out in love for our wives. Going out, giving as Isaac did. You remember the story of Isaac? Here he was, desiring this particular girl as his wife, and received her after working those 20 years for her. But now she's barren, and the children that he desired to have were not forthcoming. But look at Isaac. He did as his father Abraham did. And you see, men That's the heritage we pass on to the sons that call us early in the morning and encourage us. As with Abraham, so was it with Isaac. He had gained the story that Daddy Abraham had to wait and still love and yet encourage and get under and go all out in love for his wife before she brought forth Isaac. And now here's Isaac doing the same thing with the lovely wife of his youth, going all out in love for her, waiting, serving, suffering, believing God as the priest of the family, believing God as a provider of the family, believing God as a protector of the family, believing God as a preacher in the family, believing God. Getting under this woman, serving her. Listen, you want that girl to love you? You want her to return to the beauty and the grace of days gone by? Serve her. Outserve her. Give her all. In the morning, noonday, evening, be there for her. Think about her as you think about your investments. Think about her all day. Stop in the middle of the day. Pick up that telephone and give her a call. Just in the middle of the day, call her. Call her by that pet name. Honey, sugar baby. Lumpkin pie. Ice cream cake. Amen. Try and find that thing that's going to get into her very spirit. God, I'm grateful for the gift you've given me. I'm grateful for the investment you shared for me. I'm going all out in love. But listen, that is impossible to do in and of yourself, my brethren. It will never happen until we turn to Jesus and love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Turn again to him and cry out to him, "Oh God, I need you. I want to love my wife. I'm tired of being drawn to other girls. I'm tired of being drawn to other thoughts. I want my thought to be so centered in my marriage. I want it to be a producing marriage. I want it to produce the kind of love that's contagious. I want it to produce the kind of love that catches my children and my grandchildren." You know, the Bible says that a good father leaves an inheritance to his children and to his children's children. I've got to believe that part of that heritage, a great part of that heritage you leave, is a heritage of a good marriage. The heritage of a father who loved those children's mother. The heritage of a grandfather who's yet with those children's grandmother. I know it's a tough call, but it's a call the world is waiting for. There's a Trojan horse, as it were, in the church and in our nation. We won't talk about it. But brethren, you're here today, and I'm challenging you to return home and return to that girl of your youth. Call her to you. That girl that Solomon talked about, where you spent your years of vanity with. In other words, you spent the years of your most potency. When you needed somebody to be there for you, you spent them with her. Now, in your middle age, or in your older days, your eyes have begun to wander. I challenge you to return to the wife of your youth. I challenge you to remain there. Ask God to do you like he did with Abraham. Lord, so empower me, so strengthen me, that I can get under this girl and love her so. God, you will bless us, and it will not hinder our eternal blessings. Well, brethren, I come to closely to the end, and I come with a little booklet in my hand that a friend of mine sent me a few weeks ago.
And it's entitled 199 Ideas and Suggestions to Honor and Love Your Wife. I don't have time to give you the whole 199, but I want to challenge you to pick up this little booklet and learn to go all out in love for your wife with encouraging words. Find a way to be encouraged, encouragement to her. Guard her integrity. Never put her down in front of folk. Never put her down in front of the children. Show gratitude for her family. I don't care what you say about mother-in-law. Let's stop saying that. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking about you again. We must be gentle. We must be honest with her. We must be positive in talking to her. Thank you. Tell her thanks. Find words to say to her. But not only must we give her encouraging words, we must give direct attention. My wife said to me not long ago, you know, the thing that's most important to me is that folk really know that I am your wife. They really know who Mrs. Porter is. Yes, our girls need that direct attention. You heard me say when I got up here a few moments ago that I'm not a 10, I'm not a 10 and a half. I don't know that I really am a 9. I think I'm a 9 and a half. I haven't gotten Lee to tell me just yet. I'll wait till I get through with this. But there is a story that the coach likes to tell, and it bears repeating today as I close. It's a story of the challenge to the men at another setting. They were challenged to guard or to grade their marriage from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. So men, grade your marriage and then grade it as you think your wife would grade it. I leave you with that challenge today. Where are you? God's on your side. That girl's on your side. Go for it, men. Go all out. Love those wives.